We begin now in the 13th week of ordinary time in the church's liturgical year of picking up where we left off prior to Lent. And at this time, we start to examine Luke's gospel in a little more detail. He's now giving the story of Jesus' mission and ministry. So he says here today in the gospel, Jesus was resolute facing Jerusalem or heading towards Jerusalem. Now, so this is the journey, and you've heard me talk about this a bit lately, that we are part of this journey. We either are or we aren't, but it's obvious that you are part of this journey. 15 times in Luke's gospel and his second work, the Acts of the Apostles, it is mentioned Jesus was resolutely heading to Jerusalem, or he faced Jerusalem seriously in various bits of language that say the same thing. His focus was on Jerusalem. And today, and of course when Jerusalem is mentioned in this way, we know that it is the journey of his life approaching death and then ultimately resurrection. And Luke is saying to his audience, as the gospel says to us today, follow me on this journey. So you are part of this journey, as I am part of this journey. We are on this journey with Christ together. Luke has then put together a series of sayings that were obviously passed along the community, the Christian community in the early church, and he's put them in there to build up a message of how do we follow Jesus in this journey. So he's popped that in there, these couple of little examples. And he does this all the way through the latter part of his gospel to reinforce to the audience of what it is to be a follower of Christ, and the challenges that come with that, and the glory that comes with that, of course, when we get past the resurrection and the ascension. Now, we have Jesus heading today into Samaria. And Luke uses the Samaritans. He's the only one that uses the Samaritans so often in this way. And it's helpful to understand who they were. In the 760s BC, there was Israel at the north, and then there was Judah down the south of Israel, Palestine as we know it today. The Assyrians came over the hill and conquered the north, and they came down as far as Judea, and then they went further. They exiled those people. They left mainly the elderly and some who escaped into the hill country. The people were left, and they then brought in their own people, the Assyrians. And they, of course, populated with the remainder of the Jews. Now, the remainder of the Jews were north of Jerusalem, and the country we know as Samaria. And so when, in 534 BC, after the Babylonian exile, the Jews came back to Judea, they looked at the Samaritans, or those from Samaria, who had now mixed culturally and religiously with the Assyrians. They looked at those almost as the enemy. There was a religious and cultural clash that went right up to the time of Jesus, because the Jews from Judea, from where Jerusalem was the heart, they looked at them as not just second class, but they looked at them almost as traitors. And even when the Jews came back in 534, those in Samaria said, we will help you rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. This is how deep this culture of hatred goes. And then the Judeans in Jerusalem said, "We don't want your money, we want nothing to do with you." And so the gap got wider and the hurt got deeper. And so what the Samaritans then did was they built their own temple in Samaria at Gilgamesh. And so what we have today is Jesus going into this hostile territory where the Judeans were not welcome. They might have been tolerated a bit. So James and John, the sons of thunder, they go firing through and they want to call down fire from heaven. And Jesus says, no, we'll just move on. So Luke puts this in there to say that on this journey that we're on with him, no matter the culture clashes and perhaps even the religious clashes and all of those opposites that bring us to hostility in our life, we need to put that aside. If you're going to follow me, so forget all your bigotry and your hatred and your ignorance and misunderstanding and simply follow me. He then says, "Foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Scholars tell us that foxes is a reference to Herod, who was despised, the ruler at that time. And the birds of the air is the symbolism for the Romans who occupied that part of the world. The Romans, because especially the 10th Legion, they had the eagle, spread eagle, under their big banner. So that's what that's a symbol of. So even those who behave so badly, like Herod, and those who rule so unjustly, like the Romans, they've got comfort in their life. But I, who try justice and peace and forgiveness, I have nowhere to lay my head. Which is Luke's way of saying that if you're going to follow Jesus, then start looking at the poor and recognising the poor and the disenfranchised and those on the outside. That's where you start. And so today we look at our life and we think about poverty and we think, oh yes, we have a couple of collections a year and that'll help solve that problem. That's not good enough. We seriously have to embed ourselves into the hurt and the pain of those who are poor. We have to bring them along with us in our journey. The poor don't want to be poor. It's the last thing they want. They do want justice and they do want dignity, things which are taken from them very often when one becomes poor. So there's the cleverness of Luke is that he takes the here and now, and it was years ago, I know, you know that too, when it was written, but it applies to us so bluntly today. It hits us in the face. To follow Jesus on this journey, then look to the poor and bring the poor with us. The next thing that he says is a chap says, that, look, I'll follow you, but let me go and bury my father first. And obviously, the father wasn't dead. You might think, oh, this is a bit harsh, leave the dead to bury the dead. If the father was dead, the son would have been with him and with the family. So this is Luke's way of saying that you have to leave everything. Not literally. You have to make Jesus your first priority. And the third example there is reinforcing that. Let me go and say goodbye to my family first. It's reinforcing that if you're going to follow Christ, you bring the poor along with him and you keep in step with him. That doesn't mean that you detach yourself from your family or from the things. What it means is you detach yourself from those things, those cords that hold us so close to from the first example, the treasures in our life, the things that we value so much, the things, not the people. And then when it comes to the people in our life, including our family, just make sure that Christ is the centre of the home. Christ is the centre of this relationship. Christ is the centre of everything that I say and do. This is really challenging stuff, to become a traveller on this journey. And And wealth gets in the way, but wealth can also be a good thing. So there's no need to criticise the wealth. It's what people do with it that might be a criticism. Jesus does not want us to be poor. If we took literally this gospel, we would all be happy in a community, but we would be homeless and we'd be surrounded by dead people. That's not what he's asking us to experience. He's not asking us to be devoid of these things in our life. He's asking us to detach ourselves from these things that we have made priorities in our life, to get the priority of being a co-traveller with Jesus in this journey. That's what he's asking us to do. And it is challenging and it is painful. And in the second reading, how do I do that? It just seems impossible. Well, in the second reading, we get an allusion to the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. If you get these things in your life, and if I kept these things in my life, I would be a much happier person, and I would be bringing much more peace and justice to the world. Let me refresh you what those gifts of the Holy Spirit are. If you're travelling in your life and you don't have these, then you better start looking for the Holy Spirit. And these 9 gifts, you might recall, are love, joy and peace, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. They are the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the tools that are evident and needed if we want a journey with Christ. So I will close with the prayer of Saint Richard. May I know thee more clearly, may I love thee more dearly and follow thee more nearly. Amen.